Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Identifying.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action. Exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, here with a big one, blockbuster interview today. One of the greatest supercross riders of all time, Ryan Dungey. Yes, we got Ryan locked, loaded here for at least a good half hour. And I am definitely looking forward to this one. So you want to sit tight, hang on, because it's going to be one hell of a ride today right here on Project Action. I want to ask you, if you're a new-time listener, first-time listener or new to the show, head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button. Please leave a rating if you like the show. If you don't, leave a rating also, man. I'll take your ratings, good, bad, and different. Doesn't matter to me. But, yes, hit us up over there on Apple Podcasts and you know, let us know what you think of the show, but please subscribe. Helps us out more than you'll ever know. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. If you want to give me a follow, give me guest suggestions, yell at me, you know, whatever, man. Give me a follow and let me know you're a listener to the show. I might follow you back. Before we jump into the Ryan Dungey, though, do want to, prime the pump here with a couple of our amazing partners. Number one, Geico. You know, do you own or rent your home? I am sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you don't have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That is geico.com. And also another personal partner of mine, good friends over there at Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com if you need help below the waist, you know, and they got some of the best trimmers in the business. Yes, they will keep you safe and, you know, any kind of nicks, scratches, anything like that you're used to. Yeah, manscaping, they're going to prevent that below the waist. Trust me. It is definitely worth the price of admission. Speaking of that, if you want to get involved, go to manscaped.com. Use the coupon code JimBeaver, and that is going to get you 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping, manscaped.com, coupon code JimBeaver. With that, let's roll into this interview with my good friend Ryan Dungey, who I got to tell you, it's been a while since we had him on the show. Ryan Dungey, man, welcome back, my friend.
Well, it's good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, I started looking over things, and I think we've had you on the show like 3 or 4 times, and it's kind of crazy. Like, I think at one point we had you after one of your championships. I think Red Bull at the time set something up like right around your retirement. And then we also had one, I think we had one when you dropped that video with Red Bull where you're, you know, up there in Minnesota where you're, you know, going through the fields and stuff like that. And then I think we caught up with you right around one of the guys from Supercross set it up right around Minneapolis time. So I feel like we've had you on around these marquee events in your career. And then, you know, obviously now we get to talk about some coffee and what you're doing in retired life. So I'm kind of really excited about this one, man.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's always fun catching up and chatting about things, of course.
Yeah. So how have things been? Obviously we got a lot to catch up, but how's retired life been? I mean, obviously, you know, you've got a, you know, you've got a wife, you've got a daughter now. I mean, you know, from most of the times we talked till now, you know, life is vastly different for Ryan Dungey. How is everything?
It's awesome. I'm not gonna, I can't complain by any means. Once racing was finished up, you know, me and my wife moved back to Minnesota. It's kind of where we were born and raised. So we, you know, with sights on, you know, kind of settling down a little bit, having a family and whatnot. So, you know, we got back here. I think it was, that was September of 17. And then by, what was it, June 14th of 2019, we welcomed our little girl Harper into the world. So that was a huge exciting time and a huge blessing. And, you know, from then on, it's been about a year and a half since then. So we've been raising her up and, you know, been a little bit everywhere, you know, kind of, you know, been at the racetrack a little bit in the industry, you know, raising up Harper, been here in Minnesota, you know, I started a coffee company now. So just a lot of new exciting stuff going on, but all good things and everybody's doing well. So, yeah, kind of a little bit different change of pace from the racing days for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know, and kind of let's talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, you're one of the few guys that, you know, that are able to actually kind of, you know, I guess go out with, you know, at the top of their game, you know, and a lot of guys, it's after a really bad season, things like that. I know I've heard some rumors that you were possibly trying to get back on a bike. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, a lot's changed between now and when you retired. You had a lot going on in your personal life. Obviously, you know, you got your daughter now, things like that. I mean, you know, is there an itch still to go back possibly, Ryan, and maybe do a little bit more racing in some capacity?
Well, I think, you know, I've definitely looked into things and seeked it out a little bit. I will say, which a lot of people know, but, you know, I think I think there's always going to be an itch, for sure. It's one of those things that you do it for so long and then all of a sudden it's done. And of course it's just a matter of time until you get a break and get rested and kind of feeling that, you know, I'm competitive, of course. So, you know, it was fun competing. It was fun winning. It was fun, you know, the challenge of the training aspect and testing. I miss all those things, of course. So I think at times it's you feel like it'd be exciting to go back, but at the same time, you know, it's you know, I think coming to grips too with the times where things are at. You know, things have passed, but you know, I always have made a point that I never wanted to go back and that be the only thing that, you know, kind of. I feel like after racing, it was a learning process. You know, I had never, you know, kind of that step, you retired and it was like, one of those things, you feel like you have it all together. And then all of a sudden you really learn a lot about yourself in the process and going through it all. And a lot, that's a whole nother conversation story, but all good things, you know, and so just kind of working through those, but yeah, I will say I've gotten the itch and kind of seeked it out a little bit, all, you know, and no doors opened, but, you know, you kind of, I think you got to go back, test the waters and just see it a little bit if there's anything there. And, but overall we're moving forward and I've always been moving forward, just seek it out. So.
And I guess here's a question, you know, because I think everybody thinks you and they immediately think Supercross, right? But, you know, the great thing about a dirt bike is there's so many different disciplines. I mean, has there been an itch to try anything maybe out of the box? I know, you know, I was talking a few months ago, we had Tara Geiger on the show, and she was talking about kind of moving away from motocross into more enduro stuff and things like that, and how she's kind of found her passion for riding dirt bikes again, you know, and finding these different disciplines that challenge her that she hadn't been challenged like in a long time. I mean, is there anything out there, an itch to try possibly something different than Supercross on a bike?
You know, I've had an itch to, I guess, try different things, different disciplines. I think this day and age, I mean, everybody in, you know, in every sport and discipline and what you're doing, I mean, one, it's either something you got to start really early on, like racing dirt bikes, like everybody started when they're 5, 6. So there's a huge, you're already behind. And I did seek out a little bit of car racing. That was something I always wanted to dabble in. But that's also a very competitive field. And, you know, it's just saturated with a ton of good talent, and kids coming up. So, you know, I think the one thing that for me that I looked forward to after racing was, you know, I always wanted to start my own business of some sort and kind of apply the things that I've learned with racing and the skills. And of course, there's a lot more to learn and there always will be. But, you know, after racing, well, during racing, one of the things I looked forward to was starting my own business. I didn't know what exactly, but that was one of the things that I always looked forward to doing and have done so. But I would say that was one of my bigger excitement after racing that I looked forward to. Yeah.
Well,
challenges,
which is a good segue to talking about RD Coffee. But you know, how did that come up? Because I know, you know, I've you know, watched some other interviews with you and things like that. And I mean, you're passionate about coffee. I mean, this wasn't one of those like, oh, coffee's hot, let's go and cash in and try and start a business. Like, you've actually been a coffee connoisseur.
Yep.
For a long time.
I have. Yeah. I mean, it started, gosh, back in 2005, 2006, and I just, you know, I didn't really quite know I was going to get as interested into it as I was, but, you know, from, you know, going to the tracks, enjoying coffee, meeting with friends, enjoying coffee. It got really fun there when I met my wife and we were able to start traveling together in different cities and different countries. And, you know, we tried coffee. So it was just one thing I was always interested in. And, you know, I had it's kind of funny enough, a lot of, you know, some friends that I had met along the way as well were passionate about coffee, and they were into roasting and they were into, you know, they had coffee shops and roasteries and stuff like that. So I was just kind of always kind of fascinated how it worked. And, you know, you'd have like a really good cup of coffee over here and you're like, man, what makes this so much better? And then you kind of go over, you know, your kind of general coffee is whatever it is, you know, your lower end stuff. And you're like, well, man, this wasn't that great. And so it kind of scratched my head, like, well, what's the difference there? So I just kind of developed a passion for it over the years. And, you know, and I think that was the biggest thing. If I was going to do anything moving forward, like racing, right? I was passionate about it. The next thing that I did is like, well, I want to be passionate about what I do if I'm going to start a business of some sort. And it slowly started to develop into, at first I thought I was going to open up a coffee shop. I was like, all right, that's kind of my initial impression. But after I started running the numbers, looking at things and kind of really diving in deeper, I was like, you know what? Like, you know, I kind of saved the time, especially with the times we're in. Like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on roasting and, you know, specialize in roasting small batch coffee and serving high quality coffee, a specialty coffee, which is the highest grade available. And we're going to start there. And that was in June that we launched with our first roast. And now we have four or five in our lineup, and it's kind of growing ever since. It's been received really well. So it's been a fun passion. It's been a fun journey. It's been a huge learning curve and something that's really challenged me, I think, after racing, that I was kind of looking to kind of scratch that itch. And so it's kind of done that. And so it's been pretty cool how supportive everybody's been and received well. It's been received really well. And yeah, we're just trying. That's kind of been, if I had to say that, you know, one thing that I'm really putting a lot of my time and effort and energy into, aside from raising Harper and spending time with the family and so forth, that's it. So it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and I know, like when I started my business 10 years ago, it's just kind of gone in all kinds of crazy different directions. But, you know, when you're first starting out, you know, you've got like the, you know, one of the greatest supercross riders of all time, right? And you've got all these accomplishments. You've got the trophy case. You've got that. But I got a feeling you're starting this business and you're watching like the first online orders come in, and here's a $20 order, here's a $30 order. And you're probably getting so damn excited over these small orders, like, oh, people are buying my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, it's an experience, right? I mean, the whole thing, it's a leap of faith. It's kind of, you know, it's investing into yourself. It's investing into something else. It's taking a chance. I think, yeah, I mean, initially when, things started getting rolling and when you've seen, I mean, there was so much work that on the back end that went into, I mean, there was days I'm like scratching my head, like, dude, I don't know anything about shipping and I don't know anything about setting up a website or designing or a product, or and there were so many things. I mean, I spent hours. So when I hit like the launch that live button on the website, to things are, you know, I got the product ready, you know, we got a nice stash of inventory, and then you're like, okay guys, it's ready. And you know, I'm ready, you know, I'm excited to see what you think type of deal. What you don't know what that response is going to be. So of course when, you know, things get rolling, but it was good, thankfully. But yeah, it's kind of like, you know, not as extreme, but yeah, when you sit on the gate, that unknown, right? Like what's going to happen? What are we in for? What, you know, are we going to be successful here? Is it going to go well? Are people going to like it? It's all the same things I'm sure you felt too. So it's exciting, but, yeah, it's a little risky too. Yeah.
Well, one thing I think is really interesting too is a lot of people in your shoes, they would have hired a bunch of people around them to kind of run this and get it off the ground. And it sounds like, I mean, you were involved and are involved in every single step of the way and every single process, right? I mean, I think that's pretty cool, Ryan, because, you know, a lot of people, like I said, would have just hired some people to handle it for them. And, you might have made a decision here or there, but it seems like, I mean, your boots on the ground every day, you're looking at this thing.
It was, yeah. I mean, in the very initial beginning, it was, I was, you know, every aspect of it, I was looking over, I mean, even to the financials. And so it was, when I say learning curve, it was a good learning curve. But you know, it's been cool too, because yeah, as we've been able to grow and expand and, bringing people on to help, that's something I'm excited, was always excited to do. And then ultimately, I built out my garage. I had a really nice clean space, and I built my garage out. I had my roasters, and that lasted for a while. I was able to kind of tackle it. I knew it wasn't going to be able to do it forever. Now we've kind of graduated up, moving forward, and, we got a roasting partner that we're working with now to make sure to keep up with the demand and what, so forth. And really nice setup, the Loring Roaster. It's a really high quality, efficient machine. And so, the next step, but yeah, I mean, it's nice to be, I'm very much involved in every aspect of the business, but definitely making sure as we go, we're not sacrificing the quality of the product and every other aspect of the business too.
Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, I mean, I know, when you first retired, and it kind of seems like a lot of guys do this, you first retired from Supercross, you kind of stepped away, and you really weren't on a bike much, right? You kind of just needed, I think, a bit of separation. But how often are you on a bike and doing some riding now, Ryan?
Well, we live in Minnesota, so the time on the bike in the wintertime is obviously next to none. But, through the warmer months, there's actually some pretty good tracks around here. So spending some time in the summer months the warmer months riding. So, but yeah, after, right after racing, we dug really deep, right? Like we pushed it all the way to the finish, and it was a long, exhausting season. I mean, Eli was just breathing down our throats the whole time, and it just did not make it easy. And so I think I was just looking for a little getaway, a little break. So I fully stepped away kind of from the riding aspect of it all. But yeah, I still enjoy riding very much still. And, just need a little break. That's all. But I will say if I could ride in the winter, I would. I just, it's, here where we're at, it's just pretty minimal. That's all.
Yeah.
So it's not that I hate it or anything like that. It's not like it was before, right? Like it was the priority. It was your job.
Yeah.
It was what we were doing. And it's still things that I do today involve it, but it's not like it was then. So, yeah.
When you go out and ride, do you have to, push yourself at 100%, or do you go out and just have fun? I mean, do you do any free riding, or is it all mainly at the track?
People would probably laugh at this, but honestly, when I go to the track, I maybe get a little bit more arm pump because I don't ride as much, but I try to go at like a race pace, without pushing it over the edge, just because like my mentality on the whole thing, it's like, I feel more comfortable and it's safer to go out there and execute going faster. Like I've always done, right. Then like, hey, I always like to have a goal. Like I don't like to go out on the track and just like, oh, I'll do as many laps as I feel, right? Because then there's this, like, it's just open-ended. You start to daydream and wander, and it's like, okay, I'm going to do 20 minutes. I'm going to do a 20-minute moto. I'm going to make sure somebody has the lap times on me, just because it keeps me accountable and it just keeps me focused. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's just a comfort thing. And I think it's, just like practicing all those years, I don't want to go out there and, if you're not focused, it's just, you're going fast. And so I want to do it right. And so when I'm out there on the track, I'm probably, that to me though is fun. Like yeah. Somebody be like, well, dude, that's no fun. But like that to me against the stopwatch, like it's like a game to me. I always felt like it was like, all right, can I get a little bit better? Can I get a little bit better? And that's just always been, what I enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
When I got it,
I do.
What's that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I will say the one thing I do want to do more of is, adventure bike type riding. That's something I haven't got to spend a lot of time doing, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. Well, I got to think too, like the bikes you're used to riding, obviously these aren't ones that are just off the showroom floor. Like I know, in my racing career, whether it be the trophy trucks or in the factory Polaris Razors we've got now, like, you almost have to ride them or drive them at 100% because they just don't work right if they're not being driven at the limit. Like you can't really lay up because it just the vehicle isn't made to lay up, you know. And I got a feeling the bikes you ride are probably the same way. Like if you go 75%, it just doesn't work right, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a good point as well. And it, you know, if you ask anybody, is it fun to go slow? No, you know, either. I mean, you don't want to, you know, putt around, but if they could go faster, they would, right? Probably. So yeah, it's just, yeah. But you bring up a good point, especially on a dang race bike. I remember that back in the day, that was like, well, you don't ride it like you practice it and you're more timid and stuff. It ain't going to work the same. You know, you're going to hit bumps differently. You're going to be holding on differently. It's going to react differently. There's so many, it's a lot of pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a question. You're up in Minnesota. You said you can't really race during the wintertime. You taking up any snowmobiling?
You know, I've actually got some invites out here this winter, so I'm going to take them up on it because it's been a long time since I've gone, and we haven't really had the snowfalls here like I felt like we had when we were younger. So, that's something I haven't done any of, but I do want to. We actually took up you know, the last year's winters we've been skiing. So that's been pretty fun. I mean, people will probably laugh like, well, what do you got for there for mountains? But we got some hills that are pretty decent size, and but skiing's actually been pretty fun. And not to mention, I actually just got back this morning. We went really early. Me and my dad, we went ice fishing. So we've been getting into that quite a bit, and, it's safe. You know, we got 12 to 15 inches of ice, and it's kind of weird being out there on the ice, but it's good.
Yeah. Well, I got a feeling one of your invites is probably from a good mutual friend of ours. And I got to give you warning. I haven't said this story on air before, but, I was up in Minnesota. I got some family up there last December, and Levi LaValle is a very dear friend of mine. And I know he's a good friend of yours too. And Levi's like, come on. He's like, let's go snowmobiling. I'm like, all right, here's this kid from Arizona, ridden a snowmobile like four or five times in my life. Right. So I'm with one of the best ever to do it. We're out. He's like, let's go hit the trails. We get to this frozen lake. And he's like, hang on a second. And he goes out on this lake and he flips around and he comes back and he's like, Jimmy, he's like, we're good. And I'm like, we're good. And he's like, yeah. He's like, the ice might break apart in the middle and it might be a little bit of open water. But he's like, if you feel the back start sinking, he's like, just gun it. You'll be fine. And he takes off. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, did he just say that? I'm like, man, I got to follow him.
Oh,
so
my God.
I get on there. I get out to the middle and literally the ice starts sinking, the rear of the sled. And I am pinned. I am on it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I get across. And he's like, wasn't that fun? I'm like, Levi, what planet are you on, dude? That wasn't fun. And I was just
that doesn't get me excited. Wow. Yeah, no, that I've heard stories like that. I'm like, I hope I never get caught in that moment.
I was just laughing because I know he's a good friend of yours as well. And I'm like, yeah, just be a little timid around Levi because he's he's Levi. So
yeah. No, we spend a lot of time together. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of time, but when we're together, you know, we've been wakeboarding a couple summers and. Yeah. Dude, he busts out the wakeboard and just launches it. And I'm like, oh, and I don't got much time on it, so I'm not very good. But just seeing him, he's pretty good in a lot of disciplines. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. Good family there.
Yeah, what's funny too, because speaking of him, we're going down a rabbit hole now. But a couple years ago, you know, I race cars and Dirtfish Rally School is one of my sponsors. So I was going up there, and there, I called him and I said, "Hey, you want to go to rally school?" And he's like, "Yeah, I want to go to rally school." So he's up there, and he'd never driven a rally car before, you know. And you know, here we are, and you know, day one, like, you know, I'm just completely wiping the floor with him, which I should be. By day three, he got so ridiculously fast in a rally car, and I've never seen somebody in a matter of 3 days. Literally go from just being a yard sale to being like he could actually race quick, you know, and it was amazing how quick he picked it up, you know, and it was something he'd never even done before.
Yeah, no, he's impressive, the learning curve. Yeah, I mean, even seeing all the stuff he does, it's just mind-blowing. I don't know if you've watched his Red Bull, the Red Bull videos and the flipping up onto the parking ramp. So yeah. I gotta imagine his hand-to-eye coordination is pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, I know, speaking of riding, I do want to chime in because I know you've got a great relationship. You've done some stuff not only, you know, on the bike and stuff like that, but with Artie Coffee. Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about what you got going with St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital, because I know you do a lot with them, and I think this is one of the really cool ways you give back.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, I guess the beginning of that relationship with St. Jude started in 2012. And that was, it was actually through a mutual sponsor that I had, or sorry, it was actually through Target, who they have the Target House at St. Jude for longer-term patients. And so we got a chance to visit there. And, you know, for a long time, I was looking for an opportunity. My grandmother had passed away in 2005 to cancer. And for a while since then, I was like looking for a way to give back, whether it was through a foundation or an event or a ride. And actually, it kind of started to come all come together in 2012. We started a charity bike ride. It now has a running portion to it. It's called the St. Jude Ride and 5K Run. And it takes place every summer, and 100% of the proceeds go to St. Jude. So, you know, we've had that relationship. We go down there. We try to go down there every single year, and, you know, and see the hospital and the tour, and it's just an amazing place, and what they're doing is obviously incredible. So that's kind of how it all started. And, you know, and getting to know it, the people at St. Jude, and, you know, working with them, it was kind of amazing, because as we got together and working together on the ride, and then that soon, that relationship kind of extended into partnering with Feld Motorsports, the promoters of Supercross and Monster Jam. And so things have just kind of gone to where I never really anticipated or expected, but it's been awesome. I mean, they're great people. We've all raised a lot of money for the hospital. So we've done really good, and, you know, just trying to help the kids and whatnot. And that's also continued to grow. And even with the coffee company, it was just kind of a natural, like, looking to give back through the coffee company, Artie Coffee. I just, you know, this past winter, we did a you know, 5% of the sales of the holiday blend we donated to St. Jude as well. So it's just, that's just one thing. I don't say that to, you know, to, hey, check this out, but yeah. It's just more so, you know, it there's a special place in my heart for it. You know, obviously starting with my grandmother who passed away from cancer. And I think anybody who's ever been affected by cancer or, you know, a family member, it's a terrible thing, you know? And I think in the position you're in, you know, you look for any way to give back or any way to help. And so, you know, very much so whatever I do or whatever I'm involved in, you know, that's just one, you know, aspect of it all that, you know, want to do good and give back to. And if, you know, and that was one thing with the coffee company. I wanted to make sure there was a charitable component to it, that it was going to do good and generate, money towards the hospital as well. So heck, it's been amazing. We're always looking to do more. And I mean, even anybody listening, if you ever get a chance to visit the hospital, I mean, it is mind blowing. It's just what they're doing, the research, the advancements they're making. It's a place that you go to, you see what they're doing and you only want to get behind it even more. And then you see in the kids and the special treatments. I mean, nobody at St. Jude pays, you know, all the patients and the kids, the families, they don't pay for nothing. I mean, food, housing, travel. So everything's taken care of. And so it's just an amazing place where I always, you know, support it for the rest of my life.
That's awesome. So before we close out, I want to, you know, talk a little bit about Supercross now. I know obviously you've been tuning in 2021, and I kind of want to talk about the format and then, you know, what you're thinking for 2021. But these 2 day a week things, I know that kind of, you know, they had to start those last year to kind of get everything in, and then moving forward into this year, they kept their calling them Super Tuesday rounds, things like that. You know, what is your thought on this? Because, I mean, I know a typical, you know, during the season, a typical schedule in a regular year for a guy like Ryan Dungey, you know, and track time and everything's down to a science, you know what I mean? And how, you know, throwing in these Super Tuesday rounds where you got 2 days off in between, same track, different layout, like, you know, I'm looking at this going, man, that's one, it's got to be tough on the riders. I mean, what's your take on this new kind of format with the calendars?
Well, I think for the fans, it's definitely exciting. I mean, there's a lot of action, right? Like, you just got done watching the race Saturday, now it was on last night, and then it's going to be on Saturday again. So I think for a fan, it's exciting, but it's definitely a lot of racing back to back. It all comes out to amount to the same amount of racing, of course, but I think the counter, you know, to counter it a little bit where you're doing a lot of racing back to back to back, the one thing you got to remember that you're not doing, these guys aren't flying home in between practicing during the week. I think for sure, I don't believe anybody rode Sunday and Monday after Saturday. And so there's no, you're kind of more resting and hanging out, which some riders probably like that. Some probably not so much, because they like to just be on the bike more so. But like, I think probably they're going to go, you know, what do they got, 3 or 4 days now in between Saturday. So I'm sure they're going to find a track down in Houston and ride and get a little practice in just to keep the feel. But, you know, it's just the circumstances. It's what it is. I think as a rider, it's just something you got to control in your mind, right? Like sometimes it crosses my mind like, well, man, it's a Tuesday. It's something about racing on a Saturday. It's just kind of nice. It's like a weekend vibe feel. And now you're racing on a Tuesday. There's nobody in the stands. So it's like, you really got to make sure that you keep your focus and stay in the moment and not think about all those things. But at the same time, I think these guys are just excited to go racing. The fact that they can go racing. I will say I'm pretty impressed. It's pretty impressive with the amount of talent in the field. I mean, there's when I've watched in these last couple weekends, the top, I mean, I don't know what it was, top 15s within 1 second. I mean, that is unheard of. So I think as a fan, it's exciting. For a rider, it's a little bit like, man, it's not the greatest, because there's just, it makes it your job that much tougher and you're really critical in getting a start. But it's what it is, you know. It's exciting. It's exciting times for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the interesting things you mentioned about, you know, the talent, the level in it. And I don't know how to word this because I need to word it right. But like when you were riding, I mean, you were the guy, right? And there was guys that just had dominating seasons. And it was just like, you know, certain years, if Ryan Dungey didn't win, it was weird. You know, it's like you showed up and you were expected to win, right? But I feel like this year and the last couple of years, I mean, it's really been a crapshoot. Like there's a good 10 guys on any given day that can win, you know, and I think it's an interesting place for Supercross because I feel like we've had these eras, you know what I mean? And you had your era and you know, obviously, you know, Villopoto had a great run and McGrath and we can go down Carmichael and James Stewart. But I feel like there was, you know, now we're at a point where there's a lot of guys that can win on any given weekend. So for a fan, it's actually pretty exciting because it's not really – you know, it's not really down to two or three like it used to be. It's 10 to 12, you know?
Yeah. And that's I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. And yeah, I mean, if you think about back in Ricky and when it was kind of Ricky, James and Chad, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, those three guys you're looking at, but right now it's like, you're sitting there, you kind of scratch your head. Well, I could pick this guy, but man, it's kind of all about a start. And if you don't get a start, can you really work through the pack? And then we saw guys on Saturday, didn't get a great start, didn't really come through the pack, or if there was a mistake. So I think it's, if you're a rider, you're going to just have to be that much more precise, especially in a championship run. I mean, I think the guys will start to weed out, as far as you'll see like the four, I don't know if it's three, four or five guys, kind of like those are going to be the guys up front every single weekend. I think you'll get to that point, but right now my dad and I text back and forth, who you got tonight? You know, who do you got? And it's like, you know, I don't know who to pick really, but you know, so anyway, it's good for the fans. I think it's really good times for our sport and it just makes it that much more exciting. And, but yeah, if you're a rider, it's not what you want, but at the end of the day, it's going to be good for everybody.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time, man. We just clipped off the 30-minute mark, but man, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck with RD Coffee.
Absolutely, I appreciate the time as well, Jim, and have a great day that side. Thank you.
Well, never a disappointment when you got the legend Ryan Dungey on your show. Big thanks to him for taking the time to come on, check out his coffee company. Make sure and go and check out our friends at Geico as well. Remember, whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's that easy. And don't forget, Manscaped. Yes, Manscaped.com. Need help below the waist? Manscaped got you covered, and I do as well. Use the coupon code JimBeaver. It's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping at Manscaped.com. And with that, I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. Head over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button to the show, check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, as well. And I'm heading out to King of the Hammers this week. And looking forward to having some fun out there in the dirt. But you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time right here on Project Action on Podcast One.
From the team that brought you the big podcast with Shaq, it's the Big Shot Bob Pod with the biggest shooter in NBA history, Robert Horry.
To Horry for three. Oh, unbelievable. Oh, guy is off the charts.
The Big Shot Bob Pod. Yeah, of course we're talking about hoops. Charles Oakley.
We played him in the finals and losing to the Rockets, and I dunked on Oak, and I kind of flexed on like, and Oak didn't do anything. I went down the court like this. I just missed a punch to the jaw then, boy.
The Big Shot Bob Pod is coming your way soon on the Podcast One app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, livebylive.com, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.